Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I'll remind you, join the mailing list. You can join the mailing list at canadareport.co on the sidebar underneath the ads and the ad for my book. You can join there. And don't forget our table talk on Sundays. We do a kitchen table talk, which is just us hanging out on a Zoom call, discussing the crazy things that are happening in our election. Really, that's all we do. And it's quite sobering. It's nice to hear other people's perspective. It's nice to hear kind of an unfiltered idea of what other Canadians think. That's why I do it. So you can sign up there and at CanadaPoly.com as well, on the same sidebar, etc. And yeah, the ads are there too. Oh, did I not put an ad for my book on this one? Whoops. My bad. You have to tell people, right? Otherwise they don't use it. Don't forget to check out Locals and the form, etc., etc., etc. There's a link to my book as well. And here, yesterday, I did a talk with Jillian with Speaking Moistly, and I might be doing a Speaking Moistly with Chris Skye. I asked him this morning, and he responded really quickly. He was like, yeah, sure, man. Or no, he said, no problem. And I was like, is that a yes? So I messaged him, and he hasn't messaged me back. But we'll see. I'll do a chat with him and see what he says. Because, like, I like to do a good cross-section of Canadian people to chat with, and Chris Skye is very, there's a lot to him. I don't know what to make of him, so I'm gonna see what I'm gonna chat with him, and I'm interested to have a conversation with him. But I'm telling you this because YouTube removed this, so I don't know what we said. We talked about vaccine passports and the rise of the PPC, and I was joking halfway through about Maxime Bernier prime ministership with Erin O'Toole as the official opposition. I said like 155, like 155 seats, right? Erin O'Toole gets 128 or something like that, right? Something crazy. And then all of a sudden, you know, like we got a soup, right? And YouTube's like, no, it violates terms and conditions. Sorry, man. Terms and conditions, which is ironically exactly what my book is about. My book is about how my YouTube channel got removed after operating totally fine for years. I also tell about other people, but the main thrust of the book is that without any change in our laws, the Canadian government has usurped and removed our free speech through YouTube's and Big Tech's terms of service changes. So that's what my book's about, through them silencing me on YouTube, right? And that's, I mean, here we are. So, and they're continuing to do it. The AI has now identified, or the AI or human sensors, government sensors, who knows? I've also heard people tell me that BitChute takes hours to process my videos, which is wild. Check out Odyssey. Odyssey, it's ready almost immediately, right away. And I stream it on Twitch and DLive as well. But they're saying both Rumble and BitChute were having problems with my show. Rumble was pausing and freezing all over the place, and BitChute was taking forever to process. So apologies, that's why I upload to multiple places. But yeah, the censorship is rampant. And if you think it's gonna get better after September 20th, I don't know what to tell you, man. I just don't know what to tell you. I don't think it's gonna get any better, right? Like it seems like, the United States has gone completely bonkers. Did you see Joe Biden's announcement yesterday? Bonkers, right? They're targeting businesses with 100 plus employees. It's gonna be, I've been talking a long time about they're trying to provoke people. And I think that they thought like just the rumors of vaccine passports would provoke people. And people are just kind of waiting at this point, right? The nurses and doctors and other people are waiting to get fired. Other people are just waiting, right? But nobody's acting out, right? The worst we've seen is rocks thrown and Maxime Bernier got egged. And the Maxime Bernier thing is, I think, encouraged by media. But we haven't seen the population act out in a way that you could say, see those anti-vaxxers, we need to crack down on them. And they're trying to provoke. And now Joe Biden's saying, if you own a business that has 100 plus employees, you have to prove their vaccination status or your business is going to get fined. That's not going to go well. And you're going to have entire states that say no. And then I've heard a rumor that Joe Biden's going to remove those governors in favor of governors that will do what he says. So we're watching, like in real time, the rollout of a very, very different system. It's like somebody's playing Civilization and they changed from like democracy to tyrannical communism. And, you know, the people riot for a while in Civilization, and then a few years later, it just all goes back to like, you know, the people are happy enough. I hope that we break out of Sid Mercer's like framework, right? But man, I don't know. Purple wave is real. In the election, we'll talk about that. 11%. The Green Party, -3 at 4%. The Bloc at 4%. is the Bloc at 4% going to get 36 seats in Quebec? And the PPC at 11% is going to get, I think, what, Bouss? I think Bouss is going to go to Maxime Bernier. Who knows, though? I thought that last time, too. And there were some people who took great pleasure in me being wrong. I thought that was funny. Like, I thought that said a lot more about them than it did about me being wrong. Like, I'm wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I'm cool to be wrong. Like, whatever. I've been wrong. I hope I'm wrong often, right? People think, haha, you're wrong. Man, I hope I'm wrong. Right? I will be the happiest guy in the world if Doug Ford says, ah, oh, so sorry. I can't believe you guys thought that we were trying to take away your rights, right? Here's everything that we took away and more, right? Here's it all back. You guys can go to a movie or whatever. But man, like, you know, being wrong about Maxime Bernier getting a seat and being wrong about they're trying to implement social credit. I'd rather be wrong about the implementing social credit. Anyway, regardless, it doesn't look like I'm wrong about that either. But anyway, Maxime Bernier and the People's Party are at 11%. They have the best candidates. I really think that they do. I really think that across the board, they're the most animated. They're the most interesting. I thought the same when in 2019 when I was running. I thought, like, man, we've got a great slate of candidates. Like, we've got Salim Mansour, who was a big get at the time, right? We had Mark Friesen, who was very active with the United We Roll and very just active in the community, a well-spoken guy doing his streams, etc. We didn't have a Viva Fry, right? Like, a poor man's Viva Fry, right? But like, we had the best candidates, and Maxime Bernier, of course, right? I thought that he was a good candidate. And this time, I think that PPC has the best candidates as well, because, well, Chelsea Hillier, Bernier, Viva Fry, there's Mark Friesen again, and lots of well-spoken, outspoken people who are really, and I'm going to show you a couple of, Mark Emery, I'll show you some tweets and stuff, but how can the Bloc polling at 4% be allowed on the debate stage, right, to push their agenda? And Mr. Bernier, who is excluded from literally everything, right, and the People's Party candidates are being excluded from debates left and right, all of this is being looked at by a Canadian public that's either going to, like, shrug and carry on, or disagree, and there's going to be a massive upset or a massive change in alignment on September 20th. I hope. But previously, I said, do you remember when people in the United States were chanting, "We love you," to Donald Trump, and then he lost bigly, right? So, you know, we could be polling at 22%, right? We could be fighting our way out of this paper bag, and then election day comes and goes, and then 2 or 3 days later, or a week later, or 10 days later, Joe Biden's the winner. Justin Trudeau's the winner, right? Barely, right? Skinny your teeth, right? Oh, 141 to 139. Oh, man, if only those People's Party didn't get 4 seats. Oh, right. I think that's what they're setting up for. I really do. I think that's what they're setting up for. Scapegoat. That's what it is. But regardless, let's see how it all plays out. I don't know. We're logging a stream now. Things are set, right? Things are set for this. We're gonna go through this next marker. It's going to be September 22nd, and something's going to happen September 25th, right? We're gonna have an election result at some point in September, probably. Right, and then we're going to carry on. If it's not a Trudeau majority, I think we're going back to the polls in 18 months. I think we're going to go back. I think that for whatever reason, and if it's an O'Toole minority, they might hold it together longer than 18 months. But I don't think it'll be longer than I don't think it'll be the full term. I don't think it'll be more than 2 years. 3 years. I don't think it'd be more than 3 years. If you get to 3 years, then you're in an election already. There's no point in calling it early, because you can just use the last year to campaign, like Justin's been campaigning with the federal money, right? That's all planned, by the way. They plan that out. Years in advance, they plan that out. Maxime Bernier says, "My team got a touching message from a group of Venezuelan Canadians who left a dictatorship and are afraid this beautiful country they've adopted is heading in the same direction. That's why they support the PPC. How in the world did we get to this? Sobering." Infiltration, not invasion, right? So we've had CCP communists infiltrate high levels of government and schools and then train up Canadian communists to go into these positions, and they've turned and inverted our rights and freedoms. I strongly believe that our charter is currently suspended, and I think that we're operating under some kind of quasi other legal system, other legal framework that makes somehow all of this okay. And I mean, like, the Emergencies Act, maybe that qualifies as the quasi-legal framework that's suspended the Constitution. But effectively, our Constitution doesn't exist at this point. Our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, suspended. Sorry about your luck. You don't have that right now. And like it's very scary. It's very scary. Liberals, the Liberals made this lots of noise about removing Raj Saini from the options, right? He's not running in that riding, but he's still on the ballot. Isn't that weird? Right? Fact check. Yes, Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party knowingly kept Raj Saini on the ballot and hoped Canadians wouldn't notice. He hasn't withdrawn anything. He put out a statement. More talk. The credibility gap on feminist issues continues. Justin Trudeau got called out by Annamie Paul at the debate for feminist issues. That was funny. Like, you're a fake feminist, and that she named Cesar Chavanez and Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott as strong women that he removed from his cabinet. Everybody was like, ooh, sizzling. The debate was... When you take away Maxime Bernier, when you purposely remove somebody who's polling at whatever, regardless of what they're polling at, I mean, like, there should be a standard. Yes, you can't have 25 people on the debate stage. But I've said before that I don't really like the format anyway. I think it's a watered down washing machine format that doesn't really meaningfully convey, like, oh yeah, I agree with this person over that person. But in this situation, Maxime Bernier is a stark difference from all of the rest, right? Like, all of the rest largely agree on everything, and Maxime Bernier disagrees on everything. So having him on the debate stage would have had a very, very interesting impact if people watched it. But last time he was included, they created a format that was so useless that he didn't shine at all. Like, his platform was lost in I called it a washing machine. His platform was lost in a washing machine. So even if there was some way he made it on the debate stage, I would feel like they'd sabotage it somehow. But it would be better and more useful to have all of the leaders like Bernier in the debate. But they're not letting that happen because I feel like, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like they're not letting it happen because if a majority of Canadians heard the policies and heard Bernier speak, they'd vote for him. And the powers that be, and that's O'Toole and Trudeau and all of those group of people, that's intolerable to them. Intolerable to them. They don't want that to happen. And so they shut Bernier out. The worst guy about all of this is Jagmeet Singh. Like, he's just kind of along for the ride, but he's like reveling in it the most. He's like, oh, you're a bad person, right? And like, Jagmeet, man, no. The rebel news aren't bad people. They're asking hard questions. Maxime Bernier is not a racist or a bad person. He's just disagrees completely with the NDP and Jagmeet Singh personally, I guess. But I think that it's interesting that disagreement equals he's a bad person, or their policy or their political party are bad people, or the rebel news are bad people because they spread misinformation despite the fact that they ask questions that are reasonable. Okay, back to the Liberals, back to the election. Sorry. I keep getting sidetracked. I know, it's too long. 13 minutes, oh goodness. Justin Trudeau's candidate admits the Liberals have a plan to tax the sale of your home. It's time for a change. So this doesn't have a misleading tag. He's talking here about how if you access a Liberal, if you get $40,000 worth of a program, then somehow that'll be taxed on the sale of it. But I don't think that the sale of the principal residence was on the table. But regardless of all of that, it's still a jarring clip. Here we go.
We have lots of tax incentives for first homeowners. If you're under 40, you can save tax-free up to $40,000. So, you know, that's something that we will. And when you put that money in, it's tax-free. When you take that money out, it's tax-free. But of course, anyone selling their primary residence, you do make money on that. So unfortunately, you will have to pay tax on that. I wouldn't agree to that either, but it's what we have to do.
So I'm not sure exactly how that works. He said you put it in tax-free, take it out tax-free, but if it's the sale of your principal residence, you'll have to pay tax on that. That's not what we do in Canada. And he clarifies this. Like, somebody asked, like, he said, like, I don't want my principal residence taxed. And he said, oh, I don't believe we do that. So I don't know what the heck he's talking about here, but there's certainly, the Liberals have studied taxing the principal residence, and that's interesting. But as far as moving it forward for policy, it could be daisy chained to incentives for home buyers, right? Like, buy this house, the government will kick in $40,000 tax free, but when you sell your house, now you pay taxes on the capital gains. I don't know what the mechanism is. It doesn't sound like that liberal knows either. But I think that it's, I think that like it's within the realm of like, how could we make more money off of these people without them realizing that we're making more money on them? Because I think that's just how taxes are, man. Like, look at the carbon tax. How many tons of CO2 have we reduced since the liberals have taken office? None, right? Freaking liars. And like BC's had a carbon tax since 2008. They've just created a shadow economy of carbon. And if you can buy into this shadow economy, if you can buy carbon pieces, right? Like these carbon pieces increase in value increase in value because the government dictates that they do, right? Every year the carbon goes up, the carbon price goes up. So if you buy in now, you're and sell later, right? Like you're making money on this because the government is mandating the price go up, right? Anyway, regardless. And so it's like a stock market where you just, it's like an investment. I'm going to buy a bunch of carbon credits now. And then when I get to sell them to companies later at $170 or whatever, when the government is mandated, it's $170, I'll make all this money, right? I gave X amount of dollars for these carbon credits and now I'm going to sell them for this amount, right? It has nothing to do with reducing CO2. So it's a casino. Liars. Holly Doan says, no response from the Liberal Party after Atlantic candidate warned government. Unfortunately, we'll have to tax home equity. Video was distributed by CPCHQ, and you can check that out as well. There's a rebuttal like, oh, this is what they cut out, but Twitter didn't mark it as misleading. So, you know, journalists, what? Twitter didn't tell me. Mark Emery, here's some characters, right? Me campaigning is front page with the daily newspaper, London Free Press, which I delivered daily door to door in the 1970s when newspapers were relevant. Of course, the story is slander. But then all the LFP journalists received direct payments from the Liberal Party government, which is what I was saying yesterday. Yes, giving desperate, angry people an increasingly aggressive voice. They're trying to paint the PPC as aggressive. They're not aggressive. They're not aggressive, right? There are aggressive protesters out there, and they're waving PPC merch. There's a word that starts with P. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they're waving material that is PPC branded, but it is not. That doesn't mean PPC is an angry mob. That means they're angry with what Justin Trudeau has done, right? Have you guys heard of Antifa? That idea is scary, man. Right? The angry mob outside of the Dave Rubin, Maxime Bernier interview in 2019. Remember that? Right? That's ignored. But Mark Emery, the former Prince of Pot, is. What? Angry people. Disparate, angry. Right? And increasingly aggressive. I mean, did somebody take his weed? Like, I don't, Mark Emery, is he an aggressive guy to you? Does anybody know Mark Emery to be an aggressive person? I can see he could aggressively fight for his rights and his position. Like, you know, with words saying like, no, I'm not going to back down. Like, I could see somebody being aggressive that way. But like, being aggressive is like the Antifa are aggressive. I've never seen that from Mr. Emery. Protests, apparently the protests are not influencing polls, but Canadians are growing frustrated with pandemic election. So the election is getting less popular, but apparently the election or the protests aren't influencing polls. No? Huh. I mean, didn't those polls look different a little while ago? Looks like the bottom was 28 as well. I said before, if we got down to 28 and then it jumped and then the Liberals were back up at, you know, 29, 30, that the bottom was 28. I was hoping for 26. If we saw 24, they certainly weren't going to be reelected. You're seeing 31, 34. This is like a slight edge for O'Toole, but not much. This is statistically tied, this race. Statistically tied, I think. So very, very interesting. In a statistical tie, what happens? What happens, right? People are going to say split vote. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think so, but they're going to try and spin it that way too. Blame the PPC people. Justin Trudeau is taking his son campaigning in a hospital. We'll get to that in just a minute. Maxime Bernier was taking part in a debate in his riding, not like in the riding that he's vying for in Beauce. He was made to sit in another room. He says, I'm taking part in a debate between candidates in Beauce that is broadcast on radio since my conservative opponent, Lehoux, crazily believes he was in danger of being infected with COVID if we were both in the same room. I'm alone in a different studio. This stuff is creeping and crazy, right? Like this would not be a reasonable situation. If, like, go back to 2015, let's just say. Imagine the conservative candidate showed up and said, I'm worried that this guy might have measles. He's got to sit in another room and zoom in. That would be intolerable. That would be like, no, that's not going to happen. Now, this guy might have COVID. He's got to go out there. right? But Trudeau can bring his son to campaign in hospitals, right? Yeah, what? Right, yeah. Trudeau brought his son with him to campaign inside another hospital. How does the CEO at these hospitals think this is remotely okay? The provincial medical doctor? Like, hello? The Ottawa media should be losing their minds over this, but instead they've made excuses for Trudeau, right? He wasn't in wards. What's with the crotch shot? Like, what a weird, I feel like grooming, right? A little bit of grooming. A little bit of grooming for the public, right? This is what you get to look at for the next 4 years. Lori Goldstein says, Justin Trudeau says he has not missed his climate targets, apparently forgetting his 2020 target. In other news, Canada has never met a climate target it has set in Canada's history since starting to set targets in 1992. We've never hit one. We've never, not once. Not like you got to set the bar low, right? Like even when you're trying to do something hard, if you're trying to lose weight or stop doing something like a habit, like if you pick your nails or bite your nails or something like that, drink too much, if you are trying to quit something, you have to set a low bar for yourself in order to we can do this, right? All we've done is money-making schemes that make some people rich and inflate the, if you look at BC and ask how many pounds of CO2 they've removed from their atmosphere, and you look at a place like Ontario that is kind of similar. Ontario had a slower increase in CO2 than BC did. So weird, right? With a carbon tax, they actually grew faster. The carbon emissions increased faster with a carbon tax. Wild. How does that work? Because it's money. It's money, right? Like people are like, oh yeah, I'll buy tons of that. Sure, right? Not once have we met it. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, says Trudeau. This is funny. The CBC aired this clip yesterday, and they showed a picture of Andrew Scheer. This is yesterday. Isn't that wild? Okay, so the beginning of the clip, you've got the right leaders, okay? And you've got Justin Trudeau, no Maxime Bernier, but Annamie Paul. And Quebec's own Francois Blanchet, right? Okay, and so we've got these three jokers and those two. And then the picture changes, and you've got Andrew Scheer and Annamie who, right? It's a white man. Well, here we go.
The leaders of Canada's five main political parties are taking part in two televised national debates this week. The first one in French goes tonight, with the English debate tomorrow. The Conservatives and the Liberals are in a tight race, so these debates could have a bigger than normal impact on this election. Marina von Stackelberg takes a look at what.
So, let's just go back in time a bit, right? Here's Mr. Blanchet. Here's Mr. Scheer. He's tall, eh? I didn't realize Mr. Scheer was that tall. Here's the debate moderator, Justin Trudeau, and Jagmeet Singh, right? So this is, weird. Right? Like, where do they? Is that even Andrew Scheer? Who is that? It looks like Andrew Scheer to me, but maybe not. Is that Andrew Scheer? So, weird. Isn't that strange? Like, if I was Dwight Drummond, I'd be angry. I'd be like, what the heck, man? Like, why are you putting up photos like that that aren't reflective of like this year? This is Rebel News. I'm showing this in the election part because the fact that the leaders don't want to answer questions. I mean, I've talked about the Liberal Party not answering questions it doesn't like. This is the same for the NDP as well. Here is a question from Rebel Media. I'm going to let it play. I'm going to read the English. I'm not going to play the audio for the French. And Trudeau just dismisses her, right? So I'll read the tweet after, but Trudeau just dismisses her. He doesn't answer the question. The question's good. I thought it was a good question. Here we go.
Monsieur Trudeau, Alexandre pour Rebel News. Donc, Monsieur Trudeau.
I'll remind you what happened last night. You demonized one of Rebel Media that doesn't receive money. Oh, the rare media that doesn't receive money from the government. You've expressed your opinion that Rebel are spreading misinformation. If it was the case, the federal court will not have agreed on our side to be here today. The court injunction that allowed them to be there. This is a fact, she says. I'm a scientist and I base what I say on facts. This is my question. Israel is the most vaccinated country in the world. They are now at four boosters and the double vaccinated are not recognized as fully vaccinated. This is my question. Lots of Canadians don't want another booster. Would you remove their privileges for the vaccine passport? Would you have the courtesy as Prime Minister to answer the question? Or will you demonize us again? He says, I made my opinion on your organization clear yesterday, and I'll not be commenting on your question. So that's one. And here's Rebel News as well. This is apparently the second one. Here's another one. Apparently this is the second question in a row by Rebel. The first one wasn't answered, but it wasn't the one I just showed you. It was a different Rebel reporter asking a different question, but this is another one. Another well-asked question, although Ms. Gunn-Reid, in calling Jagmeet a child, maybe contributed to this one. Here we go.
Next question is from Sheila Gunn-Reid from Rebel News. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Singh, the polls show that your party is between 15 and 20%. No party here on the stage tonight is even close to representing a majority of Canadians. This is an absolute divided country. Yet when conservative journalists like me ask you fair questions on behalf of Canadians, you insult us and refuse to answer a single word. You are like a child putting your hands over your ears. Do you really think you can become Prime Minister by trying to freeze out any Canadian who disagrees with you? In your own riding, you only got 38% of the vote. Is this how you treat the other 62% of people who disagree with you?
No. Thanks so much.
Next question is from Sheila Gunn-Reid from Rebel News. Please go ahead.
Oh, there we go. The strategy is clear. Did they have to coordinate, or did they decide last year that they were just not going to answer Rebel questions? I think that it is very interesting in the context of what Canadians are interested in. A vote for Jagmeet Singh is a vote for Justin Trudeau. Sorry about your luck, but that's just the way it is. Justin Trudeau says, Mr. O'Toole, you're not leading on vaccinations. You're not leading on women's rights. Women's right to choose. The reason I tagged this and wanted to show you this was I thought it was funny that Justin Trudeau was championing a woman's right to choose. You're allowed to choose to kill your baby if you want to, because your body, your choice. But if you'd like to continue working here, roll up your sleeve because I've got this needle for you. Right? That's the Canada we currently live in. Isn't that strange? So it's not a quick push. It's not, because describing that to somebody, to a Canadian in 1961, that would be something that is absolutely abhorrent to them. They wouldn't be able to understand what the heck I was talking about, because at that time, enshrined in law, you weren't able to do that. Thanks, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, right? 1969. And then because of that, and then Brian Mulroney in the 80s, and the inability for Canadian Parliament to address issues around unborn babies and abortion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're now in a position where the government of Canada, the Prime Minister of Canada, says a woman's right to choose is inalienable, but your body, my choice, right? A woman's right to choose. Yeah, a woman's right to choose. So like, are they choosing not to have, use a condom or birth control or something like that? Or like, is there other factors where they're not allowed to choose prior to becoming pregnant? I'm not sure I understand this whole, anyway, it's a very interesting mental gymnastics to get to. You don't have a right to say no to this vaccine because you might put other people at risk. You might put other people at risk, but yes, we'll kill that baby. Right? Anytime you want, right? We'll send you right to the States. We'll pay for it all. No problems, right? Third trimester, you got it, right? Roll up your sleeve. If you want to work here and work in the abortion clinic, roll up your sleeve. Time for a vaccine, right? Maybe the two are interconnected. Maybe one doesn't exist without the other. Okay. Singh says he won't answer a question from Rebel, even though it was a substantive question about his support for Big Pharma. Next question, also from Rebel. I should have put this before because I was like, oh, anyway. Next question, also from Rebel. Reporter says the question isn't from Rebel, but from millions of Canadians. Don't they matter? Good question. No answer again. They're getting frozen out. But the thing is, when what I thought immediately when Sheila Gunn-Reid was going off on Jagmeet Singh, my thought process was she gets to set the rules. She gets to say whatever she wants on national television right there, right? So she got to say everything that she wanted for almost a full minute, and Jagmeet got not like just no, like see you later. So they're giving ground. They're giving ground. They lost ground. They had to allow Rebel to attend. And they're giving ground by allowing them to state what they want to state without any pushback. So I think Rebel's strategy should be, we're not going to get an answer, make a statement. make a statement about what they about what these people are doing and couch it in an answer or couch it in a question, right? Like make it sound like a question, like what Gunn Reid did, right? Like good framing, right? Basically call him out, and it's wonderful to see, but Jagmeet is playing checkers, not chess, right? Justin Trudeau remains to be seen because Biden, when he was campaigning, it looked like he was going to lose bigly, right? And now Biden is mandating vaccines for any businesses over 100 people, right? 100 people and up. I've already done that one. Okay. Moving into the debate. Here is live from Gatineau, Go Maxime. Here's a lot of PPC supporters. They're trying to demonize this. They're trying to say these people aren't actually PPC supporters. They're somehow activists or they're somehow paid for or whatever. PPC supporters are certainly, I think, represented there. Here is, was there a single human in Canada, says Astrid, who actually thought the debate was anything more than a flaming heap of dog shit? I didn't watch the whole debate. What I watched was, I thought the pre-debate was interesting. It was 8 o'clock, and I have a bit of work that I do at 8 o'clock. I wind down, right? My brain is toast at that point in the evening, but I've got a couple of things I finished before I start the next day. So I had the debate on in the background, and it wasn't quite started yet, and they were filming the people, like the leaders coming in, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, this is just, it's a pantomime. It's a show, right? It's, if you watch Wag the Dog, and I talked about Wag the Dog before, they understand what they're putting on as a show, right? It's the illusion of democracy. And that's what I felt like the debate last night was. And I called Greg, or I didn't call him, I texted him, but it was probably too late. I probably should have figured it out last week. But I called him to see if he wanted to stream the debate and chat about me with it. And after about 10 minutes, I was like, I couldn't do 2 hours of this. Like, it wouldn't be entertaining. It would just be painful. Like, we would maybe be able to get through half an hour. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll rewatch, like do a debate rewatch or something before. And we'll just do half an hour of like the meaty parts. But maybe not. Because it's just so, right? I don't know. Did you watch the debate? Let me know if you watched the debate last night. I felt like it was pantomime. I felt like it was a show. It was in order to reset the conversation over here rather than talking about free speech, etc. I really think there's something to the Purple Ribbon campaign. I might do a separate video talking about just what the Purple Ribbon campaign is and why we should do it, because I think there needs to be something unifying before they bring in this passport. Because if this passport comes in and nothing happens, and like there's no opposition to it, no pushback, no nothing, we're done. I'm sorry, but we're done. Okay, here's a comment that is from a removed comment. It's a hidden comment. I tried to find it on the on YouTube, but it's not showing. Anyway, he says, Mark, I have no way of contacting you as I'm not on social media. Last night outside at the English debates, there were snipers on the rooftops of the Canadian Museum of History. There's also a drone flying less than 50 feet above the crowd of PPC supporters listening to some music and candidates giving 1 to 3 minute speeches. The police divided the PPC onto one side of the street for no apparent reason, perhaps to identify who was taking part in the PPC Bernier support and the opposite side that was supporting some union. I think it was the same union that was protesting against anyone but Trudeau in the last election. My French translation sucks, but I'm sure they're promoting liberals and hating on the evil anti-vaxxers. Hope you get to see this sometime. Bye. Yeah, man, thanks for on the ground reporting. I appreciate that. I wasn't able to be at the leaders' debate yesterday, as I don't live in Quebec, and I wasn't about to drive across country for the leaders' debate. But it's interesting hearing directly from people who were there. There's some choice moments. Here's where Annamie Paul calls out Justin Trudeau. Her party's polling at 3% and falling. Like, how does this even make sense? I mean, I like what she's talking about here. And I think she calls Trudeau out in a way that it resonates. But, you know, like, is it going to translate into a green seat? No, sorry, it's not. Here we go.
I've said before, and I'll say again tonight, that I do not believe that Mr. Trudeau is a real feminist. A feminist doesn't continue to push strong women out of his party when they are just seeking to serve. And I will say their names tonight and thank them. Thank you, Jane Philpott. Thank you, Jody Wilson-Raybould. Thank you, Selena Cesar Chavez. And I'm here tonight thanks to the work that you have done. I've said before, and I'll say again tonight, that I do not believe that Mr. Trudeau...
I'm not sure what work they did to make the Green Party leader at the debate, but whatever. I mean, like, specifically, right? Like, Jody Wilson-Raybould tried to stand up to Justin Trudeau and got railroaded out of caucus and is now not running again. She wrote a book. the Indian in the cabinet. So if you want to check that out. But, you know, fundamentally, she got run over by the Trudeau machine. Jane Philpott resigned because of what happened to Jody Wilson-Raybould. They were friends. And Cesar Chavanas had like a personal yelling match with Justin Trudeau, which is something to, you know, like, I mean, that's something. That's something. But other than that, how did they help the Green Party leader get to the... Anyway, whatever. Dan Kelly says, I've been watching the leaders debate for 1.5 hours. Hoping to tweet about the discussion on small business and economic issues. Still waiting. See, Dan, the thing is, the discussion is happening out in the public. They're destroying small business and the economy. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to just implode it, right? I wish that they weren't, but the federal government isn't interested in stopping this damaging policies that they're implementing. In fact, they're trying to make it worse. They're trying to make it even more stringent and less able to be easily gotten around, right? And Dan hasn't done anything, not at the provincial level, not at the federal level. I don't know what he's talking about. You know, we're waiting for the debate people. We're waiting for the debate people to talk about economics in Ontario. Like, Dan, come on. Right? The 23 Canadians who watched the debate in its entirety are probably overstating its impact. Gerald Butts was like, oh, I don't know what happened there. And people were like, Trudeau lost this one, Gerald. It's clear at this point the Canadians would have benefited from hearing from Maxime Bernier at this debate. Yeah. Yep. I think so. True. I've been telling you about the physicians being silenced. Here's an American doctor. And she says... Every doctor I know today got an email from their medical board threatening to revoke their licenses if they spread misinformation about COVID vaccines. The board gets to define misinformation however they choose. Is it misinformation to discuss known serious adverse outcomes? And this guy says, I can confirm I also got it. And here is a copy of the letter. If you're interested in reading the whole letter, I'm not going to read it because it's American. The CPSO has done exactly the same and they put it on Twitter. They're threatening people and they're threatening people with their jobs, with their livelihood, right? This is no joke, right? This is a professor that got fired, Ontario professor on paid leave after refusing to get vaccinated or wear a mask. Unbelievable, but we already knew about this. I showed her video and I put it up on Rumble and Odyssey as well. It got quite a lot of views. So incredible stuff. Today's AM 640 news poll question, should Windsor Regional Hospital employees be fired if they don't get vaccinated against COVID-19? This is propaganda. This is terrorism. This is threatening your job if you don't comply with the government. There's no law that says you should do this. In fact, there are laws that says you have the right to say no, and you should not be coerced through the loss of employment or any other means. But our government is ignoring our basic rights. So that's why I think that we have a suspended charter, right? The news media, should we fire those people? What do you guys think, eh? Oh, well, we talked to everybody in the lunchroom and they think you all should be fired, right? Like, oh, do we get a say? No. Healthy kids, no rights. Fanshawe College is saying, based on the government direction from Ontario, there are no faith-based or human rights code-related exemptions allowed. Right? Your actions are discriminatory, Fanshawe. They're illegal, unethical, immoral, and reckless, and show zero regard for our constitution, human rights, basic respect, and dignity. Disgusting abuse of authority. Shame. Yeah. I agree on all of it. Shame on them. Shame on them. They should not have anybody attend their colleges. This is just sick. Sick people, what they're doing. Another conspiracy theory turned fact. This was never a conspiracy theory. I told you about this months ago. I showed you that they were coming out with this in September, but the digital ID passport is coming. Ontario prepares to launch digital ID program, and here's how it works, right? Lucky you. According to the government, Ontario's digital identification program is scheduled to launch in late 2021. On Wednesday, the province unveiled more information about the program, saying it will be a convenient and easy identification solution for Ontarians. Ontarians will be able to have an electronic version of their trusted government ID, like a driver's license and health card, which the government says is more safe and secure. Being on an app? Wasn't the Quebec one already hacked? The government says it's more safe and secure. Oh, okay. Let's blindly believe the government. Let's just have a quick look at the last 6 months and the things that the governments have said, or the last 2 years. Let's look at COVID. Since then, at the things the government has said and flip-flopped on. Borders don't work to contain respiratory viruses. The borders must be closed. Masks don't work to contain respiratory viruses. They only need to be worn by people in hospitals and by sick people. actually masks are mandatory everywhere, even for kids. And no, please don't look into the efficacy or the unintended consequences or developmental difficulties caused by not seeing the bottom half of people's faces. Don't bother with any of that. How many times have they been right? The masks will be kept to open businesses or will be used to keep businesses open, right? How have they been right on any of this? They've been wrong. It's been absolutely a parade of errors. And now we're like, oh yeah, we'll just believe them. It'll be more secure, they say. Bullshit. Bullshit. Your ID will be stored in a digital wallet app, which will be available for download onto smartphones and other devices like tablets and laptops. Oh, the digital ID will allow people and businesses to prove who they are both online and in person. Oh, goody. Right? According to the government, the digital ID will offer more privacy to users. For example, if you need to show your age of majority, the verifier will know. Oh, like if you're 12 and you want a vaccine against your parents' wishes? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Where can you use it? Making age-sensitive purchases like a lottery ticket. I wonder if you can use it at the LCBO. Picking up packages? Apply for, like picking up packages? Okay. Access and use vaccination records? Oh, use vaccination records. How exactly? Oh, here's my vaccination record. Thanks for the groceries. Okay. Make a medical appointment, visit a doctor, access medical records. You know, there's a reason that I don't carry all of that in my wallet. There's a reason. And the reason is I don't want somebody to pick up, you know, say a phone and then be able to make a medical appointment as me using my government issued license and things, you know? So there's a reason that I wouldn't use this crap. Oh, the government's stupid. George Carlin was right, man. He was so right. He was like well before his time. He was right in his time, but he was super right now. Joe Biden is set to announce that employees at private businesses with 100 employees or more must be vaccinated or tested once a week. Businesses that fail to comply face to be punished with thousands of dollars per infraction. Ha. Good luck. Good luck. This is the chart of COVID deaths in Britain since June. That looks good, right? That's definitely the... Wait, what? Right? Lots more deaths? Per 3 million, right? Very interesting. Very interesting. Is this a successful rollout, this vaccine? Alberta Health Minister Tyler Shandro, we have seen businesses take the leadership role of blocking unvaccinated people, praising the leadership of businesses promoting vaccine segregation, eh? Got it. It's not legal, but the courts aren't going to uphold that. They're not going to uphold your rights. Very, very scary. Very scary stuff. Here's Chris Sky. He says, don't listen to the liars saying, trying to scare you into submission over the vaccine passports. Here's the official law proving they can't do anything. They require your submission and compliance. And so here's the law. But the thing is, the problem is, remember when we were talking about the education phase where kids and people in parks who were sitting on park benches were warned that they were going to get fines, and then we started seeing the fines? We're in the education phase of this. Soon they're going to start fining. These aren't laws. These are bylaws. These laws are outside of the usual way laws are made. And for your safety, comrade, is just not good enough, right? Just not good enough at all. Anyway, how will the government enforce the requirement of proof of vaccination? Consistent with current practices under the Reopening Ontario Act, enforcement will be conducted by bylaw officers. Ministry of Labour Training and Skills Development inspectors will begin with education and warning visits. Right? Warning visits. So they're going to phase this in over time, right? In a year, it will be commonplace for your vaccine passport to grant you access to your employment. Sick stuff. Nova Scotia Premier announced yesterday the province will implement a vaccine passport on October 4th. Citizens and businesses say, no, I do not comply. It's against our charter. It's a coercive measure. It is not the law. This will segregate our people. This is a PPC candidate, right? Another well-known PPC candidate fighting for what was traditionally your right, right? Here are why vaccine passports won't slow COVID spread and will hurt the poor and threaten medical ethics. There's six questions here. What is the intent and what are the endpoints? I asked this about masks. They wanted me to be quiet about it. They wanted me to stop asking the question. What are the criteria for masks going away? They didn't want to answer. They didn't want to engage in it. Same with this. Vaccine passports, they don't want to tell you. They want to implement it forever. This is social credit. Okay, that's where we're going. Can we stop transmission with a vaccine certificate? They're not using passports. Can we stop transmission with a vaccine passport? Probably not. The latest data suggests that vaccine reduces transmission by about 50%. Bullshit, liars. at 6 months with evidence of further waning thereafter. Vaccines may help to slow the spread of the virus, but they will not achieve the kind of herd immunity we see with such diseases such as measles. What are the logistical considerations of such a program? To those who are fully vaccinated, maybe amongst those denied access if they did not have a printed or mobile device, or if they've forgotten their documentation at home. The logistics of this are a nightmare. If you show up at Walmart and you forget your Vax Pass, right, but you have your wallet, they're like, sorry, man, you can't come in. Wild, right? What are the unintended consequences? Many. Let's take the example of fitness gyms, which have been deemed non-essential. Why are gyms non-essential, right? One of the most important risk factors for COVID is obesity. Many people rely on gyms, especially during the winter months, to access physical activity and maintain their ideal body weight. Those who live in apartment dwellings may not have access to green spaces for exercise. Thus, by barring access to gyms, we're restricting physical activities, which in turn contributes to increasing rates of obesity and greater risk for severe disease. Why are people vaccine hesitant? Oh, you know, we'll just give 100 words to that. While it's easy to dismiss the unvaccinated as conspiracy theorists and selfish, he says. Okay, sure, carry on. Are vaccinated, this is when you are reading articles, this is the casual demoralization that is inherent in current media. This is why it's trash. It's garbage. They're lying, okay? One of our vaccine certificates ethical? No. No. We got that yesterday for a full 5 minute rundown of why it's not ethical. Watch Julie. I'm not gonna dignify this trash with reading it out. So it's funny because the articles are trying to, it's like a concern troll. Like, yeah, I agree. Things are concerning, but we should get you vaccinated. Right. Candace Owen says, the CDC director has openly admitted that COVID-19 vaccines cannot stop you from getting or spreading COVID-19. Think very carefully about why the federal government is trying to mandate it into your arm. Yeah, why are they trying to do that? These are scary times. Flu vaccine, 900 million doses and 1,951 deaths. COVID vaccine, 200 million doses and 13,627 deaths. That makes the COVID vaccine 30 times more lethal than the flu vaccine, with the IFRs being fairly comparable. If you don't need a flu jab, you definitely don't need a COVID jab. This is misleading, apparently. Misleading tweet, right? Misleading tweet. We got a misleading tweet here, right? I think this is interesting. Dr. Shazam, I'm just gonna say Shazam, an emergency room physician in Edmonton, I think, Alberta, said a staffing crisis overwhelmed the intensive care units and mixed messaging from the province has created a dire situation. Ooh, a dire situation. Boiling point, Alberta doctors warn of healthcare system collapse as COVID cases climb. Alberta's, like, this is fear porn to the highest order, okay? The healthcare system in Alberta is gonna collapse in August? Alberta's healthcare system is on the verge of collapse, warns a group of physicians who are pleading with the government to strengthen public health measures. What do they want? Strengthen public health measures to fend off a relentless fourth wave of COVID-19. With like a high percentage of people vaccinated? Relentless, eh? Relentless. It's almost like the vaccine doesn't matter at all. An emergency room physician in Edmonton said the staffing crisis overwhelmed the intensive care units and mixed messaging from the province has created a dire situation. Her biggest fear, she says, her name is Shazam. Is that doctors will need to triage patients should hospitalizations continue to mount. They're threatening to withhold your care. Alberta Health Services, the province's healthcare provider, said in a statement Wednesday that there were 258 intensive care beds in the province, which include 85 added spaces. 85 added spaces? It said intensive care unit capacity sat at 87%, just slightly below a seven-day average of 91%. So of 258 beds, it's sitting at 87%. So not even at 90% threshold. But the Alberta Health Service is going to collapse? How is that true? How do those two independent statements remain true together? If the ICU has 12% capacity left, how long has that been true? How long has it been at 87%? I wanted to find out how many beds we had last year, March 2020. It was March 18, 2020. That's why I said 18. How many ventilators and ICU beds does Alberta have according to CTV News? In total, the province will have 527 to 597 adult ventilators. You know, around there. Definitely 527, probably up to 597, but no more than 597. What a weird range. And 78 pediatric ventilators. Province-wide, Williamson said, Alberta has 207 ICU beds, but when special units are counted, those for burns, coronary care, NICU, etc., the total tally of ICU beds in Alberta is 704 beds. That's March 2020. So would you think that after 18 months of COVID and saying, we've got to put money into our healthcare system, we've got to solve this problem, that our healthcare system would be on the verge of collapse with 258 beds and 87% capacity? And I can't fathom it. I can't imagine that the politicians would be so derelict of duty, would sit around and do nothing for an entire 18 months other than create, 50-odd beds? 50 beds, that's it? And now we're on the verge of collapse, according to these people? It's either the fear porn or, some people didn't do their jobs, right? And maybe they should have done their jobs, right? Maybe it's unforgivable that they didn't do their jobs, right? Maybe we could be back to normal if they had done their jobs. Maybe we should have an investigation into that because people are having their health care withheld, and that's not good. This is a photo of Eric Mulder's, I want to believe. My surgery was originally scheduled for today, says Eric, but I received a call yesterday afternoon that the surgery had been canceled indefinitely. Please call, email, or share this post with our government officials. Thank you. How is this okay? Right? How is this okay? Our healthcare system is completely collapsed. 18 months of COVID and dereliction of duty from our leaders. And all of a sudden, the hospitals are not able to do basic surgeries like this. Is this a basic surgery? I think it's a basic surgery. Like cancer tumor removal would be the first step in a cancer treatment, right? That's basic, isn't it? Maybe I'm wrong. Since the pandemic began in March 2020, fatal opioid overdoses have increased by 60% in Ontario. Here's a six-part strategy to turn that curve. I just want you to understand that we had 8 deaths last week in Guelph of, not COVID, but of opium overdoses. How is that acceptable? How come we were locking down the entire country for less deaths than that? And having movement passports and all of that implemented, and we're giving addicts these drugs. We're handing it to them. We're saying, you know what? The way to help you is to give you too many drugs, and then you'll just get sick of it. You know, you'll hate those drugs and you'll give them up because, man, it's time to get back to the real world, right? I saw Trainspotting, man. That's not what happens, right? You got to get locked in the room with a crazy baby and other stuff. You got to stop hanging out with those no good other friends of yours. And then maybe you get straight, right? But then maybe not, right? At the end of the movie. Wasn't there Trainspotting 2? I didn't watch Trainspotting 2. The part where he smashes the bottle or the glass in the guy's face, I was like, why would anybody do that? I'm not violent. But I try not to be violent. I don't like violence. I don't watch violence. Enough trauma. Why re-traumatize yourself with a movie? I don't understand. Anyway, regardless, I think that it is sick and scary what our public health is ignoring with regard to the opium crisis in favor of scaring the public more to fear the COVID crisis, right? And the public is trying to run away from the COVID crisis by using opium, right? Unbelievable. Sweden was right. We got it wrong. Sweden's success shows true cost of our arrogant failed establishment. Sweden has far fewer deaths per capita than the UK. Maintenance of basic freedoms opportunities, including schooling, and it didn't unnecessarily wipe billions from its economy. Yeah, we've destroyed ourselves for nothing. We got nothing out of this. In fact, all we got is worse healthcare and a vaccine and a movement passport. Like, are you happy now? Social credit on the way, right? These people are not working for the Canadian public as much as they say they are. They are not. They are not. They're liars. Justin Trudeau is the chief liar among them. All right, that's enough out of me. I can't fathom how to get back to normal. I can't fathom what that path looks like from here, right? I had Les Mis ready to queue up to bring in the show today. Do you hear the people singing? It's a great little tune. And I might play it to end the show today, but it was too long to do the intro. It was like a minute. But it really does feel like with the marching forward for the vaccine passports in the United States and the movements of our government and O'Toole included, we are at a precipice of something changing drastically. And I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know how that's going to work out at all, because it seems like they understand, they being the powers that be, Joe Biden and the people who are making the choices for him and Justin Trudeau the same. They've understood now that whoever is going to take the vaccine has taken the vaccine, and now they're working on using levers that will move people to do it without having to literally round them up and force them in a camp type deal. But the October email said that was definitely on the table. And I don't know, you know, is that true? If you vilify a group of people enough that the population is demanding it, the politicians will say we have to say these, to appease these voters. These voters are demanding that these Jews get moved to this ghetto. And I'm sorry, I wish that the voters weren't saying that, but it's my job because the person the voters put in says we have to move these Jews to this ghetto. Do you see where we're heading? Right? You think that it couldn't possibly happen here. You think that it's not something that's in the realm of reality. And I'm telling you, history is full of examples of it happening. Modern examples too. Venezuela happened, man. It happened. I hope it's not happening here. All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out the video between me and Jill yesterday. We pissed off the YouTube censors. I don't know what I said. I don't know what we said. We seriously pissed them off. Anyway, thanks for watching, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.